In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we celebrate the beginning of a new church year. So Happy New Year. The family of God has a different calendar than the rest of the world. We are in the world, but not of the world. And even our calendar confesses this. Wouldn't it be amazing to find a church that orders its time, its seasons, its entire calendar on one thing, Jesus Christ? Welcome to Faith Lutheran Church. The church's calendar begins in December with a season called Advent. Advent means coming. We meditate on the coming of God through the Virgin Mary into our human flesh. We meditate on the supernatural conception of Jesus in the Virgin Mary's womb. From Advent, we will move into the season of Christmas, meditating on Jesus' birth and on the deeper mystery of the incarnation of God. After Christmas, we move into the seasons of Epiphany and Lent. Who is Jesus? What did he come to do? Perhaps as you heard the gospel read this morning, you thought we made a mistake and got the wrong text. You heard of Jesus entering Jerusalem on a donkey, not entering our world through the Virgin Mary. But that the selection of that text gets to this question, who is this Jesus and why did he come? What did he come to do? It is in Holy Week, usually in March or April, that we have our definitive answer. He came to give us a new Passover of his own flesh and blood. He came to die on a dark Friday that we now call Good. He came to rise again on Easter morn to show us our future, to give us hope. For our future is the resurrection of our bodies and life forever with him. The first half of the year, we follow the life of Jesus. The second half of the year from which we've just come, we follow his teachings from the first things he taught to the last. You'll notice that the scriptures read here, the sermons preached, the prayers, and even the selection of hymns all follow this pattern. Our time, our seasons, our calendar is ordered on the life and teachings of Christ. As the earth orbits around the sun year after year, the church orbits around Christ. How you order your calendar says something about you. How you decorate your house also says something about you. God created material things and called them good. Matter matters. Not only do we order our calendar by Christ, but as much as is possible, everything in our sanctuary is meant to preach Christ. A few moments ago in the gospel, we heard the Pharisees tell Jesus to rebuke his disciples for praising him. We then heard Jesus answer them in this way, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." If you take a look around you, you'll notice that the stained glass is crying out, telling the whole life of Jesus. In our sanctuary, we are surrounded by Jesus' life. And when our eyes happen to wander, I mean when our children's eyes happen to wander during the service, our eyes are sure to find Jesus. Not only the stained glass cries out, but the cloth paraments also cry out. They speak in the language of colors and symbols, but they too proclaim the person and work of Christ loud and clear to our eyes. In our sanctuary, the wood cries out. The wooden crucifix first jars our senses. It offends us, crying out, "Behold the wrath of God. Behold how seriously God takes sin. Behold what you have merited with your life, what you deserve." But before its sermon is done, the crucifix also cries out, "Behold, he who has taken your place. Behold the sacrifice that has atoned perfectly for all your sins. Behold the immeasurable love that God has for you in Christ Jesus." The wooden baptismal font cries out as well, "Here God washes away your sins and gives you new birth into his family." The wooden pulpit cries out, "Here in this place, our speech is different. Here God preaches through the lips of a human being the wisdom of the cross. Here God calls you to repent and he speaks his forgiveness into your ears, creating and sustaining faith in you." The wooden altar also cries out, "Here the sacrifice is eaten. Here the altar is also God's table. Here the true manna from heaven is given. Here is the new and eternal Passover to which you are invited. Here is the fruit of the new tree of life. We fell in the garden through eating, therefore through eating we shall be restored." Our calendar cries out, as does our glass, our cloth, our wood. And sure enough, just outside our sanctuary, the very stones cry out, hand-painted by children and families, telling the story of the infinite mercies of God through Christ our Lord. Even if we were silent, the very stones would cry out. And when our generation has come and gone, when we are silent, glass and cloth, wood and stone will cry out to the next generation, "This is what we have believed. This is he in whom we have put our trust. This is Christ, our Savior and yours." This church is not Pastor Hodel's church or Pastor Rohde's church. This church does not belong to the congregational president or the council or even the voters. This church belongs to Christ. More important than glass and cloth, wood and stone, are the precious souls of the people that God has drawn here, members of Christ's body, sinners, each and every one of us, drawn to the living ministry of our resurrected Lord, the same Lord who promises to be with us. And this is why we are here. For he dwells in our midst, he the pastor and bishop of our souls, the scriptures say. This is his church. These are his people. Love one another. Love this place. Advent calls us to ponder deeper realities. We believe that there is more to Christmas than buying gifts and preparing the house. We believe that Advent is a time for each and every Christian to prepare his or her heart. For this reason, we hold Advent services on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., beginning this coming Wednesday. There is no better gift that you could give your family than to bring them to Advent services, so that together you can hear God's word and have his word enrich your experience of Christmas. You'll never regret making Advent services part of your family tradition. As you bring your family here, together we are the family of God in this place. An imperfect family? Absolutely. God's family has always been this way. We could begin with Adam, the taste of forbidden fruit still on his lips, engaged in an act of sheer genius, hiding in the bushes from God, getting ready to blame the whole thing on his wife. We could start with Noah, who gave thanks to God for sparing his life by getting dead drunk and naked and scandalizing his sons. We could pick up with Abraham, blessed with a beautiful wife, who gladly gave her into Pharaoh's harem in order to save his own neck. Not that the females are that much better. Sarah herself, so ticked that God wouldn't give her a baby, gave her husband into the arms of her servant Hagar. Here, honey, take this other woman to bed. That'll make everything better. Trust me. Jacob couldn't have lived up to his name's sake and deceive dear old dad if not for his mom. It was Rebecca who concocted the whole plan, who tied the goat skins to his arms. Amongst Jacob's granddaughters was a certain Tamar, who disguised herself as a prostitute and seduced Judah being her father-in-law. They conceived twins, and one of these twins is directly in the line of Christ. Imperfect? God's family has always been this way. Right down to a certain man named David, who penned some psalms, some of which we still sing, took another man's wife, had that man murdered, kept his wife, and penned some more psalms. His son, Absalom, took his dad's concubines, yes, David's dedicated prostitutes, and bedded them in front of all Israel. Oh, how we long for those golden biblical days. It's hardly some idyllic family that God has made his own. On the contrary, what we heard Jeremiah say in our Old Testament text today is amongst the greatest surprises that our world has ever known. Into this family, into this twisted family tree, God will cause a righteous branch to spring up. Into this family of sinners, God himself will be born. Advent reveals more about God than any one Christian could ever grasp. But if there is one thing Advent reveals to all, it's this. However terrible your transgressions, however deeply you have wallowed in filth or been drugged through it by someone else, however far you have fallen, though you find yourself doing the evil you do not want to do, acting out in faithlessness, lust, or greed, though you be the most ungodly man of all mankind, there is still a God who is willing to claim you as his own. A God who holds a place for you at his family table. A God who lives to justify even the ungodly man, making atonement for all that you have done and left undone by the shedding of his own precious blood. No matter who you are or what sort of family you come from, there is a place in God's family for you. For now, in these last days, we can plainly see that God's family tree is in the shape of a cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.